teen camp this week. Brother, you can come on up. So we'll be praying for the teens this week. Be praying the Lord will really work on their heart, that it'll be one of those weeks that really gets them refocused or focused on God and understanding that life is about Him. So I'll be praying, Lord, to be Brother Kelly, direct what he preaches and to how he preaches it. The Lord will really use that to get a hold of hearts this week. But Brother, glad you're here. Come preach to us.
Thank you, friend. Wow, what a privilege it is to be back tonight. Amen. It is a privilege to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Isn't it a good thing? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm a preacher's kid. I know what it's like to be tired and worn out, and we haven't even began camp yet. And I know many of you have worked jobs all week long. It's Sunday night. You worked hard today, but Sunday night is one of my most favorite times of church. I'm telling you, it's a great time to be together as a church family in unity and singing and all that God has done in our life. We have a lot to be thankful for. It's been good for my wife and I to be here. My wife keeps punching me or elbowing me and saying, oh, that's so-and-so, and that's so-and-so, and that's so-and-so. I said, man, they look old. I mean, I could tell some stories. She said, well, that was Becky Finch's daughter playing the piano. And I said, oh, I could tell her some stories about her mom. Then, of course, I was back there before church talking to 20-year-olds that their parents I knew before they were 20 years old. And I said, let me tell you about Brother Jacobs and Mrs. Jacobs. Boy, what a wonderful life we have lived. I'm thankful that you're still in it. I'm thankful you still stand for the right things and are doing the right things. I'm thankful that God has allowed us to be a part of His work all of these years. And it has been amazing to see the transformation here and in your life and many of the young people's lives. And it's been amazing to watch God work in our life, in our family. And I want you to go with me, if you'll take your Bibles and go to the book of Ephesians tonight. And I also find the book of 1 Thessalonians. The book of Ephesians. And we're just going to look at a couple things here. And I've been praying, Lord, what would you have me to preach tonight? Because I don't want to get to what Kelly wants to preach. I want it to be what God would have me to preach. I said, well, Lord, this church has a great pastor. They're deep in the Word of God most of the time, and they have a good understanding of Scripture. So I take for granted when I say things that you know it. I think you already can quote most of those Scriptures. I said, well, Lord, the message that I believe you want me to preach, it's so simple. But sometimes the simple things are things that we need to be reminded of. God has used the crooked things and the simple things to confound the wise. And as we look at Scripture tonight, some of it is just going to be so redundant. Some of it's going to seem like you've heard it 1,000 times. But perhaps tonight there's somebody who just needs to be reminded that our God is able. That our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I want you to understand tonight, it's not according to our power, it's according to His power and His ability and all what God could do. As you look at Ephesians chapter 4, I just want to pick it up for time's sake. Let me read a couple verses. Look at verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. That there is one body and one Spirit, as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord and one faith and one baptism. Boy, we serve a wonderful God. If you'll jump ahead with me over to verse number 17. In verse number 17 of that chapter, Paul again says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now listen to what he's saying here. He's saying from here on out, from henceforth, he says, I don't want you to walk like the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. We started this morning with why are you thinking what you're thinking when you're thinking what it is that you're thinking. And the reality of it is the Bible says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We need to have right thinking to have right feelings. And to have right feelings, if we're going to have the right walk and the right work and the right talk, listen, we got to have right thinking. That's why we need to not be conformed to this world. but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Hey, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. My hope and my desire is, as the church of Jesus Christ, we would rise up as a mighty army. That we would rise up in the power, in the God-given power that He's given the local New Testament church in these final days. We're coming to the finish line. Jesus is coming again. And if He waits another 1,000 years, praise God, but I think He's coming soon. As we look at the Scripture tonight, the Bible says that we shouldn't be walking like the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of our mind. Having our understanding darkened. Our understanding of the work of God. Our understanding of the plan of God, of the direction of God. We should not have our understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. He talks about a group of people who are alienated from the life of God because of the blindness of their heart. They're alienated, they're robbed, they're duped, they're thinking in the vanity of their mind. He's saying, church, I don't want you to be ignorant. The word ignorant there is not a word that means that you are an idiot incapable of learning. What it says here is that because of your ignorance, you have not been taught. You do not know that, hey, I am more than conqueror. Hey, I am on the winning side. God is able. God can. Yes, we may be in a jail cell. Oh, yes, we may be. We may be in a hospital tonight. But all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God has a purpose for your life, and God has big plans for your life. You matter tonight. And so as you look at this, I want you to see some things with me. Having our understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past filling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But look at verse 20. But ye have not so learned what? Christ. But ye have not so learned Christ. It so be that ye have heard of Him and have been taught by Him. The Bible says, as the truth in Jesus, that you put off the former conversation. You put off the former conversation. Let me say it again. Put off the former conversation. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do was take off the old robe and put on the new. Put off the old conversation. The old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness. And listen to this, true holiness. Wherefore, you think if we got saved, that we'd already understand all of this. But here's what he said. Don't walk in the vanity of your mind. Don't be alienated from the life of God. Walk in righteousness and true holiness. And here's what he says. Listen to what he says. Wherefore, put away lying. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church. Saying, church, get honest. We need to get back to holy living. We need to get back to pure living. We need to get back walking in the light as He is in the light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We need to walk with Him and fellowship with Him. Notice what he says. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. That's not, sir, let me help you. If your wife asks you how she looks in the dress, be careful. Amen. It's not saying, well, no, oh, that, what do you think? You know, listen, use some wisdom. Dwell with them according to knowledge. But notice what it says here. To speak truth, every man with his neighbor. He's talking about you acting like you're something. He's talking about you acting like you're more holy and more righteous. Hey, we all are sinners saved by grace. We all came the same way. We all came by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no big I and little you in His kingdom. I want you to know tonight that God has big plans. God has a purpose for every single individual here tonight. You matter. You are important. And watch this. Wherefore, put away lying and speak truth, every man with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27, get the context. Neither give place to who? The devil. If you flip over to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 starts with some authority principles. In chapter 5, the end of it, in verse 14, the Bible teaches us to wake that sleepeth and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, verse 16 of chapter 5, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And all God's people said. Why? Why is this so important, preacher? Why does this matter? Why, you look at this scripture and you begin to see Ephesians chapter 6, we find out that children ought to obey their parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. In chapter 6, verse number 5, it says, servants, be obedient. You start off with this obedience and you start off with this authority principle. God has always done things decently and in order. Amen. God put the home together the way that God put the home together. God put His church together the way God put His church together. And listen, heaven's put together the way that God put it together. Listen, everything from the foundation up, God knows exactly what it takes. We're going to look tonight in verse number 12, if you'll go there. The Bible says in verse 12 in Ephesians 6, why is all this important? Because we're in a war. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You can go on and you can see the armor of God. The Bible says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Whose might is it? His might. Help me out. Whose might is it? Let's try it again. Whose might is it? His might. Notice, put on the whole armor of God. Whose armor is it? I've offered all over. I said, hey, can anybody show me any scripture? Every morning, I've heard preachers preach it. I've read books that are written about it that talks about waking up in the morning and putting on the helmet of salvation and putting on the belt of truth and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and to understand the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and go out to battle in the world. And I listen and I go, oh, that's great preaching. But show me anywhere in Scripture where we are ever, ever to take it off. We are in a war. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So Paul tells us over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Hold your finger there in Ephesians. We'll be back. Look if you would. I love it because it's an amazing tie together when you see the Word of God just begin to come alive. Verse 12, it says, I beseech you, and we beseech you, brethren, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And all God's people said. You get the issues here? The Bible's very clear, and He tells us how we're supposed to act. In verse 15, it seems that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. How many found that, you know, it's easy to be nice to people who are nice to you? It's easy to love people who love you. But we are commanded by God to love the unlovely, to love people that doesn't love us. We are to do good to them that don't do good to us. And I want you to understand, listen, the world will be friends with people who will be friends with them. But I am, as a child of God, to be different. I am to be salt and light. Hey, I am to come to this place today, and you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about children of God being alienated from the life of God because of the blindness that's in them. The blindness of their heart. Most of the time, that blindness I find is self. Paul would put it this way, it's the vanity. Our vanity. We're so focused on how people treat us. We're so focused on what people think about us. It's all about us and not about Him. Doesn't Matthew 6:33 teach us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness. What's He saying? On the first place I see, the first thing, it ought to be Him. It ought to be about Him. It ought to be for Him. So watch if you would. See that you render evil, none render evil for evil, verse 15. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, and all God's people said. How many do that every day? Let's be honest. How many have a problem with rejoicing in some days? The Bible says to rejoice. I can't do it. You're right. You can't. We'll show you that. Pray without ceasing. Sounds like good advice. These are not suggestions. These are commands. Watch if you would. The Bible says, in everything. Let me say it again, just in case you didn't hear me. Everything. Give thanks. Everything? Yeah, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit of God. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain, preacher, from all appearances of evil. And Paul says, and the very God of peace sanctify you. Holy. The word sanctify, to set you apart. The very God of peace has set you apart. Holy. God says we are a peculiar people. He has a plan for our life. You are left here on this third rock from the sun for a purpose. God didn't have you here just to do your time until you get to go home. He has you here as an ambassador for Christ, as a mighty soldier. You are in the army. Listen, I can't do what you do and you can't do what I do. God has a job for each and every one of us. None of you can be a Kelly Sinareski, and I can't be you. But we need each other. And as we look at the Scripture tonight, look at the Word of God, rejoice evermore. We need to realize not only that, to pray without ceasing. Those all sound so good and so spiritual. But show me a man that does them all. Show me a man that wouldn't be convicted tonight if we gave the altar call right now, that would not have to repent and say, oh, I've disobeyed the Word of God. How come I disobey? The Bible says, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. I know I want to give an illustration tonight. Just simply, I know we've seen it many, many times. I am not the creator of it. But I want to show you just a visual, if I could. I need a volunteer. Who's a man's man in here? I mean, somebody that's just a man's man. I'm talking about wives. Don't. You say, my man. Okay, Greg, come on down. All right, Greg, if you'll come down. A man's man, huh? Man's man. Well, that's why I'm making him the flesh. He's not the spirit. That'll be Ohio State. No, okay. Now think about this. Let me stand out here so I can look you eyeball to eyeball. Here we go. A man's man. The Bible says that he prays our whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless. And here's what happened. We get this man's man here. We get Greg, who is a servant. If I know anything about Greg, he tries to help people. Amen. He's one of those guys who has a gift. If you mention something and he has the ability to do it, he's going to try his best to do it. At least that's what I've seen. Is that true? He has a good testimony. Amen. People are laughing, Brother Greg. I don't know. Your wife is really laughing. No. Now think about this. This flesh. The Bible says in this old body, in this flesh, we cannot please God. Here's what happens. So many times we come to God and we're alienated from the life of God because of the blindness of our heart. We get the vanity. That vanity becomes over. It takes over our lives, and all God's people said. Well, where does that happen? That happens here in the flesh. The Apostle Paul put it this way simply, that I would do, that I don't, that I wouldn't do, that I do. He says, hey, the good that I would do, that I don't. Oh, I wanted to do right. I wanted to be in the Bible. I wanted to serve. I really wanted to, but I find my flesh is battling against me. If you ever read the book of Galatians? The flesh strives against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, since you cannot do the things that you would. Oh, I've got plans. I want God to use my life. Oh, if God would just use me. If the preacher would just notice me. The flesh. The flesh. So we start off about, We start off about 17 years of age. I think that's what we decided, just about the age I met Greg. He was much smaller then. Not much shorter, but much smaller. Now think about it. Am I bothering you?
No, you're good.
Okay. I mean, I don't really put my arm around men. I don't really put my arm around women, just one woman. I got some daughters. Okay. Yes, you don't get killed. Good wisdom. Greg's looking out. He says, oh, I don't have a helpmeet. I see all those other animals out there. And he looks around and he says, there's nobody for me. And his flesh starts desiring a woman. Now, I want you to understand what happens is, in this world's philosophy, we call it dating. You say, preacher, you're not at church camp yet. No, just understand this. This flesh tries to appease itself. It tries to, Adam would look among, there was that, he didn't find anything for him. He was looking. God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Whose idea was marriage? It was God's. And so God put Adam to sleep. He didn't even have the ability to choose. He didn't say, God, this is the way I want. No. He just went to sleep on the subject. I don't have time to preach that today, but I want you to know we are alienated from the life of God because we're trying to please God in this flesh. We're trying to serve God in this flesh. And the Bible says you need to reckon this old flesh dead. It is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of him that diligently seek Him. The problem is we can't please God most of the time because our flesh gets in the way. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he what? Also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap what? Corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now let's talk about the Spirit. The Spirit. Where did my buddy Paul go that was making fun of me? Brother Paul, can I use you? You look the most Spirit. You know why I say that? because we're both getting ready for heaven. You know how I know that? There ain't no parting over there, brother. Amen. The songwriter wrote it right. The Spirit of the living God, if you'll come up here and just get right here and stand right here. No, right there is good. No, down. Come down one more. There we go. Yeah, actually, come down even one more. Here's the deal. Old flesh man says, I don't want to go to hell, right? And flesh man says, I don't want to burn forever. And someone holds out and says, what do you think, heaven or hell? And all you got to do is just repeat this little prayer after me and boom, you get saved. No. Flesh needs to know it's a sinner. Amen. And hey, the Bible teaches us the natural man cannot understand the things of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Without the Word of God, where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't need to preach the doctrine of salvation. I know what church I'm in. I know you know we get saved by grace through faith. It's not a reward. It's a gift. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God would that none would perish. But I want you to think about the reality of it is, you get saved, you get born again, this old spirit moves inside you. Now we have the spirit of man, but now the spirit of God moves inside. I said this morning, how much did you get today? You got saved? Well, you got all of it. Now it's letting the spirit of God work in your life and guide you into all truth. But here's the deal. The problem is we look at it in such a different way. We try to bring the flesh into obedience. And we try to make him obey the Spirit. We try to listen to the Spirit. But we still have the flesh that is in the way. I need one more volunteer. You're right here. I don't know your name. Ryan? You're Ryan who? You're a McGovern? When did you come along? Come on up here, buddy. 5 years ago. No, that would be Greg's children. Now, if you'll stand, you go up one there, Spirit, and you stand in between. And so we know we got the body, we got the soul, and we got the Spirit. Today, I want you to think about the reality of the soul. The soul is sandwiched between the Spirit and the flesh. The Bible teaches us the flesh strives against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one another, so that you cannot do the thing that you would. I teach that the soul is made up of your mind, your emotion, and your will. Your mind. You've got to be changed in your mind, in your emotion, in your will. Listen, as long as I'm feeding this old flesh man, soul man will never, never be right. Matter of fact, you can read in Corinthians, Paul talks about the natural, the carnal, and the spiritual. When you look at the carnality of man, he's not necessarily talking about the lost world there. He's talking about you who were once enlightened. You've tasted of the heavenly gift. He's talking about how it is impossible for you to renew again. Hey, he just wants you to know today that there is a battle that's going on. We're not wrestling flesh and blood. So here's what happens. We get married. She pleases me, Daddy. Get her for me. That's what Samson said, remember? Woo! When I got married, I wish I could say I got married for her. But I got married for me. I liked the way she looked. I liked the way she cooked. I liked her liking me. You say, preacher, you're just so carnal. No, I just want you to understand, I'm being honest today. Most of us got in the relationship for us. I had to learn that marriage wasn't about, I need to live for her. I read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 for the first time, and when that popped off the page to me, that the husband needs to render unto the wife due benevolence, the word benevolence means I need to have the disposition to be kind, charitable. I need to have her. I found out that, hey, I wasn't being the husband that I needed to be. I needed to surrender to the will of God, the plan of God, and become who I needed to be for her. And my job is to wake up every morning. How can I please her? How can I make her day brighter? How can I make her day better? And then I said, hey, the rest of that verse says, and likewise the wife unto the husband. Her job is to wake up and say, how can I lift him up? How can I make his day? And boy, it is an amazing passage of Scripture. But here's the problem. When we get married and we try, and I'm just using marriage as one. You can do church, you can do bus route, you can do anything. When we try to serve God in this flesh, we try to be married in the flesh. I want you to understand the flesh will never be satisfied. That's not the pattern that God put together. We have the Spirit of the living God. The Bible says, and quench not, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. We're quenching the Spirit of God. Why? Well, because we won't take off the old vanity of our mind. We need to put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge of Him. Well, how can I get knowledge of Him? The natural man cannot understand the things of God, neither can he know them, because they are foolishness unto him. I need the Spirit of the living God to guide me into all truth. So how should it be built? Paul puts it differently. If you'll go to the top, and you'll go here, Paul puts it, I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go all the way back to the marriage again. Let's talk about the marriage. Before I ever have the right physical kind of marriage, I need to have a right spiritual kind of marriage. We put it in the way of spiritual intimacy. There needs to be a spiritual connection. There needs to be a spiritual growth. Hey, Christian, listen. If we are being alienated, it ought to make you mad. If the devil has robbed me of the life of God because of the blindness of my heart, could it be that the Spirit of the living God is trying to guide you into all truth, but instead of listening to God, you're listening to the flesh? Oh, we're trying to work on our marriage. No, no, no. You die to the flesh. Romans 6 says, reckon the flesh dead. We need to live from the inside out as versus the outside in. But instead, we try to appease the flesh. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I didn't cuss. I didn't chew. No. The reality of it is we need to understand we are ignorant. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against an enemy. And he's been at this a whole lot longer than you and I. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to divide your home. He wants to put parents against the children. He wants to put the children against the parents. He wants to put the wife against the husband and the husband against the wife. He does everything he can do to get in your mind, to get in your emotion, and get in your will where you'll grieve the Spirit of God and not listen to the Word of God. You'll look at the Word of God and you'll read the pages and you'll pull out verses and she's not being submissive to me, preparing. You'll say all of these things in the flesh, but you'll grieve the very Spirit. My wife and I need to have this right before we can ever have this right. Can two walk together? Hey, the reality of it is, if we look at it as a church, and listen, I don't want you to be alienated from the life of God. I want you to know the fullness of God. I don't want to get to heaven and find out that I missed out on all kinds of things because of my old wicked flesh. If I'm living from the inside out, I'm going to listen to the Spirit of God and my eyes are going to become His eyes. My hands are going to become His hands. This old flesh man, this old body is used for His glory. But if you go the other way, it's all about flesh man. I'll hurry and be done, but I want you to think about the Spirit. I want you to think about the soul. I don't want to think about the body. I know I've just scratched the surface. You think about the carnal man. You think about the soul man. You think about the spiritual man that's renewed day by day. We need the Spirit of God back in our lives. That's why Paul would tell us in Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's why our worship needs to be filled in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. Be not drunk with wine, but whereas to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making giving thanks in all things unto God, the Father in the name. Hey, we need Spirit-filled homes and Spirit-filled submission and a Spirit-filled church and a Spirit-filled family and a Spirit-filled marriage in Ephesians 5. Why is it today that God's people are alienated from the life of God? Because we don't realize who we're battling and we don't realize the tools that God has given us. Thank you, men. You can be seated. If you'll go with me back to Ephesians 6, I'll give you a couple more things and I'll be done. Notice the Bible says in chapter 6, verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Say with me. And against what? And against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Put on. Put on, take off. You need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and take off the old man. Why? Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. Take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom also you trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of the salvation, in whom after that ye believed were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And all God's people said, amen. But look, verse number 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Could it be that God not only has us a home in heaven, not only do we get to spend eternity in heaven, but could there be on this side a spiritual walk with God that's greater than anything this world has to offer? A spirit-filled life. A spirit-filled home, spirit-filled church, spirit-filled family. Hey, a spirit-filled walk with God. What God could do with people who decided to say, I see it. Notice what He says. That God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Didn't the Bible say that He'll give wisdom liberally? And all God's people said? Didn't the Bible? Listen to what He says. Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Oh, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance of the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him up from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in heavenly places far above, underline this in your Bible, all principalities. Church, the Bible says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When Jesus Christ raised from the dead, He was seated far above all principalities and powers, and all God's people said. Now think about it. If He's far above, the devil isn't here. Far above. Let me say it again. Far above. It's not a little bit of yang, a little bit of ying, or whatever you say it. It's not evil. It's not that they're brother. It's not what they teach down the road. I want you to understand, the devil is a created being. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ, in His authority, is far above all principalities and powers. And He wants you to know the Spirit of God moved inside of you the day you got saved. And He wants you to be not alienated from the life of God. He don't want you to be ignorant. He don't want you to be ignorant of the devil's devices. But He doesn't want you to be ignorant of the call and the promises of God in your life. There's His riches. There's an inheritance to the saints, to us who believe, He says. The same power that raised up Jesus Christ has given you life, and He's given you it more abundantly. He's given you a spirit-filled life, a joy-filled life, to where you can say, rejoice evermore in any situation. To rejoice, I'm understanding, is a choice. Understand, He says, hey, I ain't going to quench the Spirit of God. Why? Because I'm walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So watch it if you would. The Bible says that far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named not only in this world but also that which is to come. Notice this world and that which is to come. Let me say it again. Not only in this world but that which is to come. And to put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things, let me say this, to the church. How many know we're in the church? This is the church of Jesus Christ. We are part of His church. And all God's people said. He gave Him the head. Christ is the head of the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Chapter 2, you have been quickened, made alive, who were dead in the trespasses of sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What? Yeah, I want you to realize there's a spirit that is working in the children of disobedience. It's the same spirit that we used to walk in before we got saved. The old flesh. There's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Hey, when you look at the Word of God, just look at it. It's going to bounce off the page for you. Quench not the Spirit. Grieve not the Spirit. Let the Spirit of the living God have fall fresh on me. I want the Spirit of God to live and be filled with Him. As long as I live in that old flesh, man, try to serve in that old flesh, man. My Bible tells me in this flesh, I can't please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek. How do I know that unless the Spirit of God shows me that? I am ignorant. I realize I come into this world in the flesh, man, but then I got saved. I become a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things become new. And now I have to make the choice to build, as Paul says in Thessalonians, not body, soul, and spirit, but build with the foundation of the Spirit of the living God. I must be right spiritually. My marriage won't be right if it's not right spiritually. My relationship with my children, I need to be a spiritual dad. Oh, I can try to be that physical dad and go out and throw ball with them. And listen, I can be their best friend, but they'll never be any. If Jesus ain't real to me, Jesus won't be real to them. Oh, I might teach them to work and teach them to plow and teach them to dig. I can teach them all the things of the flesh, but if I don't teach them the things of the Spirit, it needs to be a spirit. Yes, listen, Dad, we ought to be the ones who's teaching our children that it's the blood of Jesus that needs to be applied. It was the dads in the book of Exodus. Listen, on that day when the death angel would come through, it was the dads that was responsible for the home. God, give us some daddies that have a spiritual walk with God that's so real that when your children see you, they see the Spirit of the living God. That it's real. It matters. We've got to hurry, but notice Jesus is seated far above all principalities and powers. You hath He quickened who were dead in the trespasses of sin, among whom all, in verse number 3, we had our conversation in times past. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy with His great love, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And watch this, verse number 6, and it's going to raise us someday. No, the word hath. It's the same hath that's translated, he that hath the Son, listen, hath life. We have it now, and all God's people said, I have eternal life. I'm not earning eternal life. I got that as the gift of God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Listen, he that hath the Son hath life, and the Bible says it hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The riches that you have right now, the inheritance, hey, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I cannot do it in the flesh, but I can do all things. Oh, the book of Philippians, it just unfolds. Listen, it's an exciting book. You find life's purpose in chapter number 1. You find life's pattern, which is Jesus Christ, in chapter number 2. Life's purpose is Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. Oh, you find His pattern, and then you find His prize. Oh, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And then you find His power in chapter 4. Church, God has so much more for us. Here we are trying to battle sin when Jesus has already defeated it. Here we are trying to make the flesh conform when Paul says, reckon it dead. Don't give it thought. Don't give it place. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How hard is it? Oh, it comes down just simply to submitting to God's plan. Flesh says, no, submit to my plan. Submit to my will. What do you think? What do you believe? What's your interpretation of Scripture, preacher? It's not of any private interpretation. I have the Spirit of the living God living inside of me to guide me into all truth. And let me tell you, it doesn't change. And so we look at it. How are we living today? Are we living from the inside out? Is my eyes His eyes? Is my ears His ears? Are my lips His lips? Are my hands His hands? But you don't understand. No, I do understand. Cast off the unfruitful works of darkness. Take off the old man and put on the new. That new which is created in the image of Him that is created. Listen, it needs to be in the image of Jesus Christ. When He says not to be conformed to this world but be transformed, it's not to be conformed to a preacher. It's not to be conformed to a religion. It's to be conformed to a Savior. When I was a kid, I was in kindergarten, and the teacher would have you line up against the wall, and they put this big white paper on the wall, and they trace you. Anybody else do that? And you were told in kindergarten you had to cut yourself out. For me, it was. And then you would stick that little guy on the wall, and the upperclassmen would walk through, and they would write on that paper who they thought it was. I wasn't too hard to figure out. It was Mr. Bubbles. It was the little round guy. You know, it was, it was Chubbsy. I mean, you just name it. Heard it all. Love my brother. God's not asking you to fulfill my image. He's asking you to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. He's asking you to put yourself into His image that He might increase. I might decrease. That the world might see Him and His power and His Spirit and His Word and His way and His love and His grace and His mercy. It's all Him. Listen, this power, this inheritance, I don't have to do this by myself. I don't have to do it in the flesh. I just reckon the flesh dead. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in His power. I don't have to fight the evil spirits of the world. No. Hey, I'm seated in heavenly place, far above in Christ Jesus. We understood. That's why the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Because the church has the authority of the name of Jesus. And every knee will bow. That's why they can talk about God in the public. They don't mind me talking about religion. But as soon as I bring up the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, that's when problems happen. That's when people began to fight again. No, listen, the reality of it is, Satan doesn't like that name. Satan's crowd doesn't like that name. I want you to know that as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have the authority to rejoice. I can't rejoice in that. No, the flesh can't. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Preacher, I can't, I don't feel very good. Oh, see, you're thinking wrong. I'm going to realize that God knows the very number of hairs on my head. He said, have you even considered the sparrow? Have you considered the lily of the field? Have you just, and they tore, how much more do I care about you, preacher? If you'll just listen, preacher, I got you. When you realize that you are more than conqueror, that you are overcomer, not in your flesh. You're overcomer in Christ. The Spirit of the living God needs to shine forth. And doesn't it say that the path of the just, it gets harder and harder? No. Brighter and brighter. My yoke is easy. My burdens are. But you don't know the burdens I'm. Oh yeah, see the flesh. Flesh don't sleep. Flesh don't see. The flesh gets angry and sins. The flesh thinks about what I'm doing. No. Flesh needs to be reckoned dead. Flesh needs to be submitted and surrendered. So what kind of life are you living? One from the outside in? How many here are trying to please God the best that I can? Or how many knows the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man? The effectual causing the effect desired. That means I can bow my head and go to the Lord in prayer and know that my prayers are being answered. Of a righteous man. It doesn't just hope so. It's availeth much. It shows faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence. Hey, show me the evidence. I'm talking about a reality of stepping out by faith and walking in the light as He is in the light. Oh, I know circumstances and I know the cares of this life. But I know God's not surprised about where I'm at today. He's not surprised about the sin that happened to me. He's not surprised about what others rise up and say about me. He's not sitting in heaven going, oh no, what are we going to do? Oh, my grace is sufficient in every storm. The presence of God and the power of God and the plan of God are all so real tonight, and they're there for us. We just have faith enough to believe. So the question tonight, no 3 points and a poem. It's amazing how quickly a half hour goes. But is my life a life that's lived in vanity? Or is my life a life that has been wholeheartedly surrendered over to Him? Are there anything in your life right now? Is there anything that's not His? Is there any part of you that the Spirit of God is being grieved, quenched? Rejoice? How can I rejoice? The only thing you can do is look to the Spirit. I can do all things through Christ. In this problem, preacher, I can rejoice. No, you can't, but through Him I can. Paul, how can you be chained? He said, preacher, quit praying. Quit praying that I get released. The gospel's going throughout all the palace. We think sometimes things are so bad when God says, no, you don't understand. I'm doing good. I've got big plans for your life. Oh, I know. If God was going to make me a great preacher with thousands of people, boy, I'd surrender. If God called me, Brother McCoy, if you're back here, I say, if God called me to Hawaii, yes, sir. Been there a while, right? What if God called me to carry cancer? Would I be willing? I know many of you know Todd Brewer. Todd Brewer told me many times, I thank God cancer came in my life. I would not be the man that I am today if God had not given me cancer. Brother Taylor, you know, as he wheels around in that wheelchair and he tries to get up now and stand behind the pulpit as he was doing, yes, last Sunday. Tries to teach and tries to preach. Hey, Brother Taylor would tell you, do you understand that during COVID, during all those times when everybody else was knocked, I mean, they would let that man and he could go in. I'm telling you, the testimony that he's had has been amazing. Why? Well, because Brother Taylor lives from the inside out and not the outside in. Oh, to look upon him, to look upon Todd, to look upon those who are suffering in that old flesh. Hey, if that's what God wants me to go through. I've seen my dad many, many times. I'll close with this story and I'll be done. I've seen him many times. He's in the hospital. His heart's beating 1,000 miles an hour. The doctors are saying, call in the family. He's done. He's done. You better get him on in here. They want to see him. And we would fly family up and we go over there to Providence Hospital and we'd gather around his bed and never failed. There was a nurse, a doctor, a person in the bed next to him. that got saved. He looked at it as an opportunity. I'm saying the reality, our view of this world is all fleshly. I thank God that He's allowed me to suffer for His glory. And see, if you're walking in the Spirit, the things that you're going through, God says He can get glory. But preacher, I know the flesh don't like it. But reckon the flesh dead. I don't have time to preach the whole thing today, but God has big plans for your life. I wonder this afternoon why every head's bowed and every eye's closed. I really don't know the story of your life. But my God does. And you're sitting here. And you say, preacher, as I looked at that simple illustration that I've seen many times, I'm looking from the flesh. I'm trying to please God in this flesh. I'm trying to make my flesh conform. I'm trying to transform the flesh. Well, God wants me to reckon the flesh dead. You cannot please God. You must walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Worship in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Be married in the Spirit. Have a church full of people who are full of the Spirit of the living God. And oh, what God could do. Why, preacher? Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen, she's not your enemy. He's not your enemy. Our enemy is Satan. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to rob you, alienate you from the life of God. I don't know where you are tonight, but if you're here tonight and God spoke to you, the altar's open. Would you come? Kneel before Him, giving that area of your life, giving that place in your heart that isn't wholeheartedly surrendered to Him. But you began to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God, I know exactly where it is, where I've quenched the Spirit of God. I know exactly where it is, where I've grieved the Spirit of God. I know exactly where it is tonight in my life. I know exactly where I'm trying to please in the flesh. And I'm failing and failing. I keep trying and I keep trying and I fail again. Preacher, tonight I need to reckon the flesh dead and walk in the Spirit. You're sitting here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I encourage you. We'd love to have someone take the Bible and show you how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. God loves you. God desires for you to know Him. He desires to have a relationship with you that is personal, that is true. He desires to save you from sin. Folks, we'll take the Bible and show you from the Word of God how you might know Him as your personal Savior. I'd encourage you to make your way to one of the adults that are standing on either side. If you're a lady, go to a lady. If you're a man, go to a man. Let them take the Bible and show you the truth of the Word of God. Father, you see the hearts and hands of every individual in this auditorium tonight. And Lord, while I know we just barely scratched the surface, God, what a church. What a mighty light here in the Anchorage area and around the world. Lord, when I think about the radio broadcast and how far it reaches, and Lord, when I think about the mission trips and all the things that this church is doing, how they're encouraging and supporting and behind, Lord, how it's always been a strong mission-minded church. When I think of the preacher boys and the folks who have went out of this church and all the great things that have been done over the years and that are being done now. God, I stand amazed. I stand, Lord, here humble to preach behind this desk. But, oh God, as you brought us to this night, Lord, you laid upon my heart the simplicity of how God's people, Lord, your people are being alienated from the life of God because of the blindness of their heart. Lord, would you give them boldness tonight to ask you, what is the blindness of my heart? What is the area of my heart that isn't wholeheartedly surrendered to you? What is that root of bitterness that so easily springs up and troubles me? What is keeping me from the fullness of the Spirit? What is keeping me from walking in the light and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh? What is keeping me from being angry and sinning not? What's keeping me from rejoicing evermore? God, give us the boldness to come boldly to your throne. And God, as you reveal the areas in our life that isn't wholeheartedly surrendered, God, would you give us the convicting power of your Spirit to bring us to the end of ourselves, God, that we might turn to you. Lord, we might confess. Lord, we might repent of our wicked way. Turn from the flesh. Turn from the vanity of our mind. God, begin to let you be glorified with our whole being. God, we love you and praise your holy name.
There is still time if you need to come and pray. We have